The following podcast is part of the MindBodySpirit.fm podcast network. Meditation doesn't have to be a solo practice. Meditation is more fun with friends. Looking for a way to drop in and hang out at the same time? Join us online at Omega Institute for a meditation party with self-proclaimed meditation nerds Dan Harris, host of the 10% Happier podcast, Sabine Selassie, and Jeff Warren. This three-day retreat will stream live from Omega's Hudson Valley campus May 17th to 19th. Don't miss the party. Reserve your spot at eomega.org/party today.
Hello and welcome to my podcast. I'm Dr. Stephen Farmer, psychotherapist, shamanic practitioner, author, and teacher, and I'll be exploring with you ways to connect with spirit animals, ancestors, spirits of nature, how to heal from trauma, and many other topics. So stay tuned. Well, hello again. This is Dr. Stephen Farmer, and I welcome you to my podcast, Healing for Your Soul. And we're exploring all sorts of different territories on this program. So I hope you are enjoying it, and you will continue to enjoy it. And I have a guest today that I think you're going to find has some very interesting experiences as a professional. And her name is Katie Brunig. And I'm going to read directly from her bio so you get an idea of what Katie's up to. I think you're going to find it's going to be very, very interesting and helpful. Her website, if you are interested, is Katie, K-A-T-Y, healingarts.com. And I do advise you to go ahead and check it out and see what she's up to. She's got a lot going on, quite a talented woman that is doing a lot of work in the direction of healing as many people as possible, as much as we can do in one lifetime. Katie is a shamanic practitioner and is set to be one of the first 100 Oregon State licensed psilocybin facilitators. And that's going to be showing up this month. It's just a new program. She has served as a board member of the Society for Shamanic Practice and as a community leader for their Shamanism Without Borders program. She's been a licensed massage therapist for over 20 years with a real love of tending to community and a passion for supporting others in their healing journey. Katie maintains a private practice in Portland, Oregon, and in October of 2022, Katie began a six-month intensive training with Inner Trek to become a licensed psilocybin facilitator. Katie has completed the PowerPath School of Shamanism 1-year shamanic studies program, as well as the PowerPath Advanced Practitioner trainings. She has a Bachelor of Science in Nutrition and a certificate in massage therapy. She has studied with the Curanderos of Veracruz, the Shipibo of the Amazon, and the Huichol of Mexico. Wow, Katie, welcome to the show, and thanks for coming on as a guest. Appreciate it.
What an honor. Thank you, Stephen.
Yeah, and I'm very impressed with all the work that you've done. Like we talked just before we began the program, you keep yourself pretty busy.
Yeah, so, it's true.
And now you've taken a new adventure as a psilocybin facilitator, and you've been involved in the training for that, and you are preparing to start offering that. I think, as you mentioned, and you can clarify this if I'm mistaken, but I think you mentioned that there is already a waiting list of people that are interested in doing that. I suspect not only with you, but with other practitioners who have gone through the training. Is that correct?
I would imagine so. Yeah. I do have a wait list that is gathering clients. So that is up and coming. And I'm sure that the other people who I've trained with also have wait lists ongoing, where everyone's pretty excited about, a lot of people are pretty excited about this coming to Oregon.
Oh, so many.
Yeah.
So then, as I mentioned to you, and you're very familiar with it, I'm sure, is Michael Pollan's book, How to Change Your Mind. You know, which he's one of my favorite authors as well. He's written some other stuff that very engaging, very good writer. And one thing I like about him is he doesn't just talk about the subject of his writing; he actually experiences it. So I think that's a unique way of creating a really good book like that. I want to back up a little bit, though, to shamanic practitioner. How did you get involved in shamanism? What's a bit of your history about that?
You know, my interest in shamanism really began pretty far back in the beginning of my adulthood journey when I was 19, 20 years old. I went to Mexico, and as in my bio, I went to Veracruz. I had interesting experience. This was probably 1998, 1999. And I had a letter from my doctor that I had the potential to have cancer. So I was 18 years old, and I was studying anthropology, and I was studying Spanish. I was going with my anthropology and Spanish professors to their land, which had been ranch land, and they were trying to reclaim it as native rainforest land. And we were going to study anthropology of the region and Spanish of the region. And we got there, and in the fire of their communal home was this family of snakes that had actually set up a home in this fireplace. And their immediate response was, we need to call the local curanderos and have them come in and clean out and heal out the energy here for the people who are arriving. And so this family of curanderos came in, and they did a ceremony, and they cleared out the snakes. And me and a few of other students were just like, I know, I'm pretty sure I was
in
weeping.
Awe, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And that most of the class was honestly not paying any attention to what was going on. They were, you know, kind of frolicking around, and here we were just jaw dropped and weeping at this what we had witnessed. And I didn't even really know what it was at that time in my life, but I was interested in studying anthropology, and so this happened. And then I told them about my health concerns at that time, and they said, well, you can study with these people as part of your training here if you'd like, and you could, you know, they could give you a healing as well. You could meet with the family. So it's a family structure of healers. That's how the curanderos work in that region. So it was, I think, five brothers and sisters, and got to have an amazing time studying with them. And I got to have an incredible healing with them. My first ever real experience with energy and any type of shamanic work. They did a healing with water, never touched my body, you know, so it was all above my body. And it was a very profound experience for me. It was the first time I think that I ever felt energy, where I remember being in the room with them and feeling like if I went this way, I could see the pattern in the room. You know, if I moved to my right, the whole room moved to the right, right? I could see the waveforms. And I was like, what is this? You know, just as a young woman, I was like, what is going on? And so I really...
The true definition of awesome.
Yes. Big awe. And so I loved it. And I came back from that experience and dropped out of college. My parents were like, you know, what is she doing? And I was like, I want to be, I don't want to study these people. I want to be like these people. I want to be a healer. This is what I want to do with my life. And I was clear medically. So whatever they had done, you know, worked. So that was another big awe for me. And I researched massage schools, and I like picked up my life and moved to Santa Fe. You know, I was young and carefree, and never been to Santa Fe before, and moved to Santa Fe to explore the healing arts. And so that's really how my whole interest in indigenous and shamanic healing work, it really started with that.
The spark plug. I think that often, through whatever the experiences, we're called to do this kind of work, shamanic work or healing work of some sort.
Mm-hmm.
And especially because it affected you so deeply.
Yeah.
To witness the clearing of the snakes and also the clearing of
and a personal level. Yeah.
Yeah, on a personal level. And so then you moved to Santa Fe, and mm-hmm. from somewhere in there, you moved to Portland.
Yeah, so there's a big stretch of time in there. But yeah, I moved around for a while. I became a mother and ended up settling down in Portland. I did end up finishing my undergraduate degree. My parents were pretty happy about that. I got my undergraduate degree from Bastyr University in outside of Seattle, and had my daughter in Seattle. And then when she was about almost kindergarten age, I always wanted to come back to Oregon. I had moved to Oregon. That's where I was studying anthropology initially. And so I always wanted to come back to Oregon. And so I decided to really put down roots here before she kind of started school. So I ended back here.
And that's how you ended back in Oregon, yeah. Or Portland specifically. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Beautiful state, though. You know, I've been to Portland. I've been mm-hmm. to parts of Oregon. It's not a bad place to settle if you're going to settle.
Oh, yeah. I just fell in love with it. I grew up in the Midwest. So coming here was just, you know, it was just so beautiful and all the different, you know, I was just fascinated that here in one tiny little state, we could have 7 different climate zones. You know, it's like we have the high desert and we have the coast and we have the mountains and we have the valley. It's just, you know, there's lots of diversity in terms of landscape and mm-hmm, it's very beautiful.
And you caught me when you said you grew up in the Midwest. What mm-hmm. state?
Wisconsin.
Oh, Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. Well, we're right next door, mm-hmm. Iowa. I grew up in Iowa.
Okay. Yeah.
Good old Midwestern people.
Good old Midwestern people.
Grew up in the Midwest, you know. Iowa being famous for its corn, and I mean not just the vegetables.
Yeah.
Cedar Rapids, Iowa. Yes. Anyway. Yeah. So, and then you received your license as a massage therapist. Mm-hmm. And at what point did you begin a practice offering the trainings that you've had in shamanism to others?
Oh, that was about 5 years ago now. I think I graduated from the Power Path. So I've been doing that work. And since then, 7 years, I've been doing that work pretty continually. Since then. Yeah.
And then you combine that. You also offer massage as
a licensed body massage work.
Therapist?
Yes,
body
I do.
Work,
yeah. I do massage and body work. I do lots of different, you know, I do cranial sacral. I also do house clearings and house blessings. That's been a really, since doing my shamanic study, that's been a really interesting, fascinating, could be a whole other conversation. Something that I really enjoy. And so I do house clearings and house blessings. I've done some weddings. I've officiated some weddings. And so the shamanic work, you know, it can really go into many different facets of, you know, my clients' lives. If they're needing some support or services in another way, recently I've done some lay ceremonies for people who have passed away and they've, you know, people who have wanted a different type of ceremony to honor their loved ones. I'm there to support my community.
That's the word that comes to mind is community. Is you're very oriented mm-hmm. in that way. It's to serve mm-hmm. the community, and mm-hmm. it is it's a service. Any of what you described is a service to others.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
you know, I admire that. Yeah, you're very dedicated to that. I've only had one experience in my work where I was asked to do a house clearing mm-hmm. and myself mm-hmm. and a colleague, we went and did one. And it was, I got to say, you know, and the report was that mm-hmm. the problems that were indicated to us by this client mm-hmm. had cleared up. Mm-hmm. You know, I should probably be doing a little bit more of that. Maybe I can talk to you further about that at some other point. We could have probably about 5 hours conversation, you know, if we really went into it, but we're abbreviated by the nature of the podcast. And then what that has led to is the training, like you described, with the mm-hmm. psilocybin as a mm-hmm. psilocybin facilitator, and there's others doing this also. Is this mm-hmm. unique to Oregon, or is it happening in other areas too?
Right. So this is Oregon is the first state in the nation. So where a whole state actually came together in 2022, over 2 million people voted for Measure 109, which is bringing psilocybin services to Oregon. And I believe Colorado just passed something as well. So it will be a 2 year there. So it passed in 2020, and then there was a 2 year waiting period for them to get everything together, and we're still kind of in that a little bit of that waiting period. But I believe Colorado, it'll be another 2 years, and then they'll be there. Is I don't know the details about theirs, but I know it's a little bit different than how we're doing it here in Oregon. So yeah, we're the first state, and yeah, there were many counties. So within Measure 109, there was another vote that was able to happen right before it, where counties could actually opt out. So there are several counties that ended up re-voting and opting out of Measure 109. So it's an interesting map of where it will be technically legal in Oregon and where it won't be legal.
I suspect, I don't know this for sure, but it rubs up against federal complications,
for sure.
Federal law
mm-hmm.
and such like that. So again, yeah. Not just yourself, but I admire those who voted it
yeah.
to be available to have the courage to agree to that. I think that's great. You know, I'm a child of the 60s, you know, and I went through my days with psychedelics, you know, LSD, mushrooms, mescal, you know, you name it, you know, a few of this and a few of that. But it was never done with, shall I say, the sacred. You know, that there was some healing process that was taking place.
Mm-hmm.
I think the best I could say about it is it opened the doors of perception, as Aldous Huxley called it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that there's something beyond our usual perception. And now what we're talking about here is actually a therapeutic application, although, again, you can't say that, but a therapeutic application mm-hmm. by facilitating these kind of journeys with clients. How would you describe, let me think of the question, is how are people affected by this, you know, in the work that's been done in this arena, you know, what have you seen happening or heard of happening?
Oh, I have, you know, from the practicum work that I did in Mexico and the work that I saw people do, it was incredibly deep and profound healing that happened for so many people that were there. And I do think, you know, I am so honored by the other people, the other colleagues that I trained with. I do have to say that that was by far my favorite part, because it was meeting all these other people who are really willing to go deep and really willing to do the work on themselves to be able to come forward and help to offer that work to other people. So, you know, I mean, just from that week training, I think there were 16 of us on this retreat, and, you know, we had a woman who was, afraid to give birth. She was really wanting to start a family with her husband, and she had this big fear, and that was completely released, and she's pregnant now. So that was like a really beautiful flowering that happened from that experience. There were many people who really went with the psilocybin, with the mushrooms, really went deep into their childhood. There were a lot of people that had, you know, significant traumas from their childhood come up and worked through them in just such a beautiful and vulnerable way. There were people who were, just dealing with a lot. There were some interesting teenage traumas that came up, and people that were just dealing with grief and depression. And, you know, these were all people who are going to be facilitators. So it wasn't, you know, it wasn't necessarily like a PTSD group or a, you know, treatment resistant depression group, right? We were the people who are going to become facilitators. So we were there to do whatever came up, right? And
well,
it was
that makes
powerful.
Sense. Like,
it was powerful.
You have to experience it, you know, especially something like this, you have to experience it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's something I've come across, you know, is some, I won't call it research, but just experiences, you know, with people with what has been called post-traumatic stress disorder. Don't like that word. I don't think it's a disorder, you know, I think it's a very organized way that the body and the mind deals with something like that. But the carryover is into adulthood as it continues to affect us as adults. So this sounds like has been demonstrated, witnessed it, and perhaps even experienced it, the healing of some pretty deep wounds, and especially childhood wounds.
Yeah, it was profound. And and it, you know, again, I just keep coming back to that. It was so much honor to see these people, you know, be vulnerable and be willing to go there. And we were very open as a group, you know, and we were lucky in that sense that there was a lot of trust within our group. We were sharing a lot, you know, people were sharing a lot of their deep experiences. And we were also really lucky in the fact that we did have an integration. So another key aspect of this, the psilocybin services in Oregon is, you know, having an integration afterwards. And we were able to be together for that week. And then it's maybe 2 weeks after we got back, we had an integration call with everyone. And then I'm still in touch with these people. So we can still touch in with each other and integrate. And I think for anyone, you know, looking to do any type of psychedelic work or psychedelic therapy, having integration set up afterwards with someone, anyone, you know, to be able to process afterwards is really important as well.
I like that. I like hearing that. I was curious. I was going to ask about that. You know,
yeah,
about
sorry to get ahead of you. Yeah.
No, not at all. No need for apologies. I'm just, thanks for bringing that up, because it would seem, you know, after such an intense experience that it would be useful to have some sort of follow-up. And it sounds like there's the continuity continues, that you can still contact some of these people that you worked with, your colleagues that you worked with, which I think is great. Well, yeah. There's other elements like MDMA. You know, I've not read a lot or researched a lot, but MDMA is apparently being used quite a bit with veterans. You know, people who've been in war and have suffered the wounds of that sort of a trauma. And the other one that has kind of made the news lately is ketamine, which I absolutely know nothing about other than the word, and it's now being used therapeutically. Do you know anything about either of those, MDMA or ketamine, as to what's going on?
A little bit. I know, I do know some people, some therapists specifically, people who are, you know, licensed therapists or trained in as a licensed therapist that use the MDMA with psilocybin as a really powerful combination tool. I think that the MDMA, I'm not real versed in this, but my basic understanding is the MDMA allows more talking, right? Whereas the psilocybin is really a very, especially the way that we're trained here in Oregon, it's a very internal model, right? So it's headphones, eye shades, you know, going inward, and your facilitator is there. You don't have to have the headphones or the eye shades, but that's kind of the model, is to really go in. Whereas the MDMA really helps the processing and the talking aspect of it. So people will really start talking with MDMA, and they'll, you know, they'll go into their childhood stuff with processing with someone who's there with them. Whereas the psilocybin and the Oregon model is really about, you know, your own inner healer, right? Finding your own inner answers with the medicine, having the medicine sort of help you to do the healing. And the facilitator is really there for support. I don't know much about ketamine. I think it's pretty popular here in Oregon as well. Many people did it for their practicum. So some of my classmates did it for their practicum here, and everyone had a great experience. I hear it really blasts you off. You know, psilocybin is pretty earthy. You know, it's very grounded, and it's nice to be around the earth. And ketamine is, I hear it's pretty far out there.
It's pretty celestial.
Very celestial.
Be one description.
Yeah, and it's only about an hour, right? So you can go have ketamine therapy on your lunch hour. I mean, not that you're going to, but technically it's an hour long. So that is a benefit of doing ketamine therapy versus psilocybin, where you're in a session for 4, 6, 8 hours, you know.
So after lunch, you just grab your briefcase and get back to work, and with maybe a different attitude or something.
I can't imagine.
I know that. I don't know. You know more than I do about ketamine and certainly MDMA, but I want to keep the focus or bring the focus back, mm-hmm. To the psilocybin, because I learned over a period of time of abstinence, not doing anything like that, and then being intrigued by certain, you could say, plant medicines, like ayahuasca and like the mushrooms used in a different way. And I actually, without going into it, I tell this story in a book called Healing Ancestral Karma, but I had a life-changing experience and a shamanic initiation, with mushrooms, which psilocybin is the prime ingredient in mushrooms that, and really spirit came to me, in a particular form. It was really fascinating and frankly changed my life. It put me in a little different direction, or solidified the shamanic practice, as the direction that I was to go. And that was a few years back, with 1 mile up on Cone Peak in the Big Sur wilderness area, looking out at the ocean and the valley and everything. So it was really a prime experience in many ways. So to hear and to see what's happening with therapy, being useful for therapy, I could see it. Would you describe it as a, I don't know if it's fair to say, a spiritual medicine, or spirit is working with you in some way, or the spirit of, I want to say the plant, even though I guess technically it's a fungus, but that the spirit of the plant comes to you?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. It's there's been lots of studies that have been done on psilocybin now, right? With how to change your mind. Michael Pollan really goes into the science. One of the things that I learned with InnerTrek was that there was actually a study done on spiritual well-being and psilocybin. And one of the best indicators of having a positive psilocybin experience is having a spiritual experience, or an experience with meeting spirit, or an experience with oneness. So that is a prime indicator of that the psilocybin is working, is having a spiritual experience. And that's actually in the scientific studies. So that's pretty cool. It's pretty cool
that
they've actually studied that, and it's actually, and I think a lot of that comes out of that psilocybin can be used for people who have terminal illness diagnoses and have a fear of dying, right? And being able to experience spirit, and being able to experience, maybe having an experience of oneness, often helps that fear to be alleviated when with death and dying, with their terminal illness.
Speaking of death and dying, I think Terence McKenna wrote a book, Food of the Gods, and this is a few years ago, and that's actually what prompted me to treat this substance differently, than when I was in college and tripping and all that stuff. It's like, I didn't do that for a long, long time, and have never done it since, other than as I would consider a sacred medicine, Terence McKenna said, listen, if you aren't nervous, you should be, because you're going to experience a death. And he didn't mean a literal death, of course, but the death of the ego, the usual self, gets sort of just, the way I describe it, just kind of stands off to the side. And spirit comes through in some other way. And so I could see how incredibly useful that would be, for the death and dying, and where do you see this going in the next few years?
I really hope that, I really hope that Oregon makes it, because it's all eyes on Oregon right now. No pressure. I really hope that it just flourishes, that people are really able to come here for healing, that it does, you know, I mean, my personal beliefs and my personal background, I hope that this really helps to awaken our consciousness and, you know, awaken lots of people up and really help people heal from lots of things, if nothing else, the last few years that we've all been through on the planet, you know? And I really have a beautiful image of, you know, Oregon really being a little heartbeat of this, you know, and really being able to share this with lots of people. So I feel really grateful to, you know, be here, being in the right place at the right time, and being a part of this movement. And there's a lot that we don't know, right? I mean, and that's part of doing something that is in some ways brand new, right? In some ways is also very ancient, but there's a lot of stepping into the unknown with where we are right now. And so that's part of the beauty of it too, right? Is where here we are co-creating what we want this to look like, you know? And that's very powerful. So it's really exciting. I think there's a lot of potential. I've had people contact me from all over, actually. And I do think that, at least until this grows into other states, people will be coming to Oregon from all over the country, if not over the world, to experience this healing, you know?
Veterans. Well, especially again with people who have wounds that are unhealed or unhealed wounds, there's hope that in a relatively brief period of time with the psilocybin, that they can actually heal from those wounds. Whereas it might take, you know, 10 to 20 sessions of therapy, the usual therapy, or even trauma-related therapy, to affect the healing of those wounds. I mean, there certainly are other ways too, but I think this presents a very dynamic and very exciting, like you said, and I might say real creative process for sure. of doing so.
Yeah.
And I do hope that it will lead to Oregon being certainly the centerpiece, or at least the initiator of this. And then Colorado looks like they're probably next in line. I don't know. You probably don't know much about California, but do you think we'll ever see it in California?
Yeah, of course. I'm reading all these studies. The program I did was pretty Western scientific based, which is probably a good balance for my spirituality piece of it. But I read a study recently that, you know, I think was done by Harvard or Johns Hopkins, one of the big ones. And they projected that within 10 years, less time than it took for cannabis, it will be legal across the United States, because there's so much coming out right now on healing and mental, and we're in a mental health crisis. The United States is in a mental health crisis, and this is showing potential for treatment-resistant depression, for childhood traumas, for all kinds of things, for veterans. There is a big study coming out of OHSU, which is Oregon Health and Sciences University, which should be coming out soon, which I'm really excited about, where they're doing a big psilocybin trial with veterans and trauma. And I think the study said under, you know, 10 years, and I will go with that. Why not? Why don't we say 10 years? It'll be across the country.
That's great to hear, because, you know, I read some research that suggests that there's an amazing amount of depression and anxiety.
Yeah.
And I do my own premise, really theory, and it's not scientific at all, but as a collective, a lot of humans, the species is feeling a great deal of fear of, you know, look at what's going on in the events of the world.
Yeah.
Or, you know, go to Facebook or Instagram or any of the social media or just the news, how easily stimulated that fear can be, you know, so there's other platforms, certainly, you know, to work with that fear. But I think one that presents itself, you know, in the psilocybin facilitation of actually experiencing a journey under the guidance of somebody who's trained too. You know, to know what to expect, how to help somebody through, you know, maybe difficult times or whatever. What a blessing that is, I think, to humans, you know, in general. Mm-hmm. And it's also, I think, an aspect of the awakening process that mm-hmm. so many people are drawn to right now is that it's evolutionary, not right. just revolutionary. I think it's evolutionary. I think our species, humans, is moving now into another way of operating, basically, mm-hmm. you know, from a different state of consciousness. And this certainly can facilitate it. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Well said. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I thank you. We'll close in just a minute or two here, but, you know, later I'd love to have another session mm-hmm. with you. Here,
yes. So to yeah. speak. Just follow up.
I love your enthusiasm. And,
oh, thank you.
You know, having come to know you a little bit, I respect you a great deal. And also,
thank you.
That you are one of the forerunners. You know, you're on the front end of the charge, so to speak, you know, mm-hmm. to introduce this to more and more people as they are called to be introduced to it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So again, I want to give everybody your website and just recap a couple of things about you and the services that you provide, very dedicated to the community. You know, mm-hmm. and it sounds like since age 19 to 20, when you went and didn't know what was going on, but when somebody could clear the snakes and clear your health so yeah. that you're healthy and you're still here and breathing and alive on the planet.
Mm-hmm.
I'd say that's a knock on the head, you know, like, all right, dude, let's get going here.
Yeah.
Anyway, Katie, K-A-T, you know, I'm largely Irish and English. So, you know, for me, I've got a... how would I say, you know, a thick head. Sometimes I need to be knocked in the head, you know, so, all right, farmer, come on, get on it, dude.
Yeah.
Time to move forward here. Okay, well, let me go to the mountain here and take some mushrooms.
Yeah.
And it was inspired, believe me. Anyway, Katie, K-A-T-Y, healingarts.com, katiehealingarts.com. So I invite everyone who's listening, mm-hmm. you know, to go check out the website, you know, and if mm-hmm. you're interested, set up a session with Katie. You know, it's a brand, I'm brand new. I'd say it's a new use of some sacred medicine. And I use that yeah. term intentionally. It's sacred medicine, like other medicines that are coming along, not a whole lot of them, but, you know, certainly mm-hmm. this. And, you know, we've heard some about ayahuasca, some about ketamine, mm-hmm. MDMA, et cetera. But let's focus in on psilocybin, because I think this is just a blind opinion, but I think it offers the most of mm-hmm. any of the other substances, in my opinion. And I'm sure you would agree with it, you know, having mm-hmm. gone through the training, et cetera. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, Katie Bruning, thank you. I appreciate
thank
it.
You.
I appreciate what you're doing. So love to have you back at some point, you know, if you're willing mm-hmm. to do so.
Absolutely. Let's do it. Yeah.
Good. I got your commitment. I got it on. It's recorded. I'll send you that. You go. Katie, you want to come on again? Well, I don't know. Well, let me show you what you said. Anyway, I do thank you for that. Really enjoyed the conversation.
Yeah.
And appreciate it. So folks who are listening, check her out. Check her out on the website, katiehealingarts.com. Thank you, Katie.
Thank you so much, Stephen.
Thanks for joining me, and I hope you join me for future episodes where I'll share some powerful healing practices and meditations, introduce you to some amazing guests and friends of mine who will stop by for some conversation, and on occasion, I'll pull some oracle cards from one of my decks and do readings. I'll also share some of my original music that I'm sure you'll enjoy. If you like what I'm doing, please subscribe to this podcast on your favorite podcast app, or go to my show page on mindbodyspirit.fm, where you can also get the free mobile app to listen to any of my shows or find some new favorites. If you'd like to contact me with questions, you can find me on Facebook and Instagram, or send an email to info@drstephenfarmer.com. You can also find lots of material on that website, drstephenfarmer.com, so please feel free to explore. Please also know that by sending a question, you're giving me permission to possibly use it in a future podcast so others may benefit from it. And to close, I'd leave you with the four most important words to take with you: gratitude, love,
compassion, and forgiveness.
Hey, it's Radley Valentine. Join me for a brand new way of connecting with your angels on my new podcast, The Angel Tarot Show. Each week, you'll meet your angelic guides and guardians and find new ways to unlock unconditional love, tune into your intuitive abilities, and create the joy-filled life that, well, you've always wanted. Plus, you'll get a useful and timely energetic weather report bringing you guidance for the coming week. Tap into the healing, hope, and guidance that's all around you on the Angel Tarot Show, exclusively on mindbodyspirit.fm.